Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It feels so good to be back. As our regular listeners know, I was on the West Coast throughout the weekend, dating from, what, last week, Thursday to Sunday. So glad to be back on the airwaves, though. Big shout out to engineer Isaac Constance, who held down the fort quite well in light of my absence. We've got a great show to start your Monday. It is Monday, August 21st, 2017. I'm dubbing it Eclipsemas. That's right. You like the ring to that? Oh, boy. I tell you, a lot of folks right now are waiting patiently outside, probably not even doing work. Those who are at work are just thinking about the eclipse that will be taking place here in Michigan around 2:20-ish, 2:30-ish. It doesn't come around often. And, the solar eclipse will take place around there. We'll actually have our very own Scott Pohl, who's been doing a fantastic job at WKAR for a long, long time. Scott Pohl is actually at the Lansing Lugnuts minor league baseball game. That's right. They have an afternoon set taking place right now. And the Lugnuts are holding a very cool promotion, I guess you can say, for the eclipse that will be coming shortly. And I believe like the first 1,000 fans, they received glasses because you need special glasses to look up and stare at this incredible moment, right? If you don't have the glasses, please don't look up. I know it's going to be very tempting to do so, but don't look up if you don't have the glasses because it can do serious damage to your eyesight. But the Luggies will actually have a moment at the game where they will pause around the time that the eclipse is supposed to hit here in Michigan for upwards of like 10 minutes. Scott Pohl is there. We'll have a live report from Cooley Law School Stadium around the 1:45 mark, so you don't want to miss that. We will also talk about, yippee, that's right, preseason football. Gotta love preseason football, right? It means absolutely nothing, but a few takeaways from the Detroit Lions and New York Jets preseason game number 2 for the Lions, in which they are now an undefeated 2-0 on the preseason slate. Again, means nothing. We'll have a few takeaways, though, from what we've seen, from what I saw, I guess you can say, over the weekend, all right? Also, Michigan State football practice. Yeah, Mark D'Antonio spoke this morning and addressed the progression of the team as we are now less than 2 weeks away from the start of college football, less than 2 weeks away from that Michigan State and Bowling Green matchup at Spartan Stadium. You'll get to hear from Coach D'Antonio. And we will have also, seeing as though this is a very big week as it pertains to Mid-Michigan youth sports, because on Friday, that is the opening night of high school football. Can you believe that? Can you believe that, folks? It is absolutely flown by. And actually, throughout this entire week, we will be welcoming various coaches from the Mid-Michigan area, various coaches who coach high school football from around the area. Today, we will have Bill Farracco on the show, head coach of the East Lansing football team. Tomorrow, Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca high school football team. On Wednesday, Chad Foster, new head coach over at Lansing Everett High School football. And then Thursday, Jeremy Miller, as the Powama Westphalia Pirates, who he is in charge of, will try to defend their state championship from last year. And on Friday, we will welcome Dan Bogan to the show, head coach of Lansing Sexton. So it will be a week-long extravaganza filled with a ton of high school football previews, various voices who are the head coaches of various high school football teams live here on Current Sports. You don't want to miss it, so I'm looking forward to having Bill on the show. And on the back end of the show, we will have, of course, weekend winners and more for you. If you want to be a part of the fun, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/Current Sports, where we currently have the live stream up, as we customarily do. And even tweet us at Al Martin, WKAR, or at WKAR_sports. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with a brief weekend update from Michigan State football camp as the Spartans held their second preseason scrimmage. The offense topped the defense in overtime, 39-33, under the lights at Spartan Stadium on Friday night in the second jersey scrimmage of preseason camp. The scrimmage, of course, utilizes a modified scoring system. It was 141 plays long, including special teams, and lasted for 2.5 hours. We'll have more from MSU football practice this morning as Mark D'Antonio took some time to speak to the media before practice. All right, Michigan State volleyball staged its annual green and white exhibition match on Saturday afternoon at Jennison Fieldhouse, and the impressive crowd was treated to high intensity and entertaining volleyball by the 2017 team. Team Green, captained by senior setter and co-captain Rachel Minerick, prevailed in the three-set match 2-1. Fellow captain Alyssa Garvelink led the white team. The team captain selected their teams, which proved to be very evenly matched as two of the three sets went extra points, and all were settled by the minimum 2 points. The teams were also evenly matched in their intensity as the teams traded some savvy moves as well as some big swings. Michigan State officially opens the 2017 campaign this weekend at Georgia Tech, where MSU will play Furman on Friday evening before tangling with Auburn and the host Yellow Jackets on Saturday. All right, Michigan State field hockey fell in an exhibition matchup to the Wolverines of Michigan, 4-0 on Saturday afternoon at Ocker Field. Saturday's match was actually marked the first for each team in the 2017 year. The Spartans were outshot by the Wolverines 19-5 on the day. Senior goalkeeper Katie Miller tallied 10 saves in the match. MSU will officially kick off the 2017 regular season when it travels to California for 3 matches this week. The Spartans will face Pacific on Friday before heading to UC Davis for a match on Saturday. The Green and White will conclude its first road trip of the season on August 2-8 at Cal. Number 22, Michigan State men's soccer, concluded the preseason with an explosive 4-1 dub over number 25 Butler on Friday at the National Soccer Festival in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Now, with the win, Michigan State concludes the preseason with a spotless 2-0 record, with wins over Colgate at home and Butler on neutral ground. The Spartans now prepare to open the regular season against the team that ended the 2016 campaign as MSU faces SIUE in Edwardsville, Illinois on Friday at 8 p.m. In Michigan State's second match, the Spartans will take on St. Louis on the road. The teams will celebrate the 50th anniversary of the 1967 co-national champions when the teams tied zip to zip. Michigan State women's soccer fell in their first match with Washington since 1995, 4-0 at DeMartin Stadium on Sunday. The game featured physical play from both teams, with Washington drawing 14 fouls and MSU drawing 12. Washington got on the board early on a goal from senior forward Shannon Simon in the 3rd minute. Now, Simon had another chance in the first half with a successful penalty kick in the 26th minute. MSU looks to bounce back when the team will host Butler for the first ever night game at DeMartin Stadium this Thursday at 7 p.m. Of
course. Curran Sports will be in his house for that one. That looks to be very exciting. All right, Matthew Stafford threw a 5-yard touchdown pass to Marvin Jones in the second quarter. Really nice play. Flick of the wrist, right in the corner. Really sexy play. And the Detroit Lions shut out Christian Hackenberg and the New York Jets 16-6 in a preseason game on Saturday night after losing defensive lineman Kerry Hyder to an Achilles tendon injury in the preseason opener at Indianapolis against the Colts. The Lions were still able to pressure Hackenberg early on. The Jets managed only 3 yards of offense in the first quarter and just 2 first downs in the first half alone. Matthew Stafford, 8 of 10, 84 yards. Jake Rudock, 8 of 13, 84 yards with an INT. And Brad Kaya, he was 4 of 7 for 38 yards. The Lions will host the GOAT. That's right, Tom Brady and the New England Patriots on Friday. A day of dueling no-hit bids turned into a home run derby down the foul lines. Justin Upton's 2-run homer capped a 4-run sixth. Previously perfect, Kenta Maeda. He earned Justin Verlander a dub for his gym in a 6-1 Tigers win over the Dodgers on Sunday at Comerica Park, snapping LA's win streak at 6. Now, JV's win was his 30th in interleague play, tying Bartolo Colon for most among active pitchers. He improved to 30-5 with a 2.88 ERA and 42 career regular season starts against National League opponents. The Dodgers' loss is just their 4th in the last 25 games. They have not dropped back-to-back games since July 20th to the 21st. Now, after an off day today, Detroit's homestand continues tomorrow night with a visit from the New York Yankees. First pitch, 7:10 p.m. at Comerica Park. Matt Boyd returns to the Tigers' rotation for his first start in 9 days, seeking his first win and first quality start since July 29th. And last but not least, the NBA has opened an investigation into alleged tampering by the Los Angeles Lakers per the request of the Indiana Pacers. The allegations were not explicitly stated by the league, but the request pertains to the situation involving former Pacers star Paul George, who was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder this summer after requesting a trade. Now, ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski, he reports that the Lakers are denying the charges and that the investigation centers on potentially impermissible contact between Lakers president Magic Johnson and George. Now, the investigation was first reported by longtime NBA reporter Peter Vesey, and the league was hired the outside firm of Wachtell, Limpton, Rosen and Katz to conduct the process, the same group that was involved with the league's high-profile investigations into former referee Tim Donaghy and former L.A. Clippers owner Donald Sterling. We, of course, will bring you updates throughout the week as that investigation unfolds. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, go to Facebook.com/currentsports to watch the live stream and tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. Here we go.
Just a little off the subject, but on Monday we've got the solar eclipse. Are there any special precautions you have to take with the team, considering the eye damage possibilities are that you have thought about?
You know, we'll set it up so if the players want to go out there and get some sunglasses and look at it, I guess they can. That's not something that I'm really that focused on right now. You know, I watch the Weather Channel every day. They're already saying what it's going to look like in every city in America. So what's going to be significant? Just watch the Weather Channel. You see what it's going to be like in Portland, Oregon. You know, it's Clayton, Georgia is the number one place in the country to have 100%. You know, there are all kind of people there. My house would probably be the only empty house on the whole lake. So I'm going to watch it on TV. Maybe we should have a team meeting about how we're going to do this. I haven't thought of that yet.
Ah, yes. The solar eclipse will take place here in Michigan around 2:20. 2:24 is what engineer Isaac Constant told me is the exact time. Please, if you do not have glasses, do not stare directly at the sun. Nick Saban, how hilarious was that? How hilarious is Nick Saban at times? He is so serious about everything. I guess there's a method to his madness, seeing as though he'll probably go down as the greatest college football coach to ever do it. But I tell you what, I mean, come on, man, it's the solar eclipse. Hence, of course, the mysterious X-Files music that we have rolling under right now. Isaac, I'm curious, dude. Do you even remember that show? Are you too young? Remember the X-Files?
I know there was a movie recently, I never saw the X-Files. I never saw the X-Files show.
Man, it was, I guess, because, you know, we have like a four-year age gap, I guess, which isn't that crazy.
No.
But I remember watching the X-Files with my mother every weekend on Fox, and it was one of the spookiest shows of all time. Talking about aliens out in outer space, right? So this really has, the solar eclipse has nothing to do with aliens. But, you know, I thought it'd be kind of fitting for, I thought it sounded cool to talk about the solar eclipse while this was playing in the background. But, yeah, a total solar eclipse crossing the United States from coast to coast. It has started since 10 a.m. local time out in Oregon and ending just before 3 p.m. out in South Carolina. So, you know, it's like when the moon blocks the sun and it only happens like once every 10 to 15 years. But a total solar eclipse happens like once every 30 to 40 years. So it's pretty insane. And again, later on this hour, we will have Scott Pohl on the show. Scott Pohl is going to join us live from Cooley Law School Stadium to talk about that moment. Very cool stuff. But Nick, come on, have some fun with that question. It's just a lighthearted question to get you to really break up the monotony of these boring questions, you know, during preseason training camp leading up to the start of college football. And Nick is just always locked in. He'll watch it on TV. That's what Nick Saban said. So, yeah, not surprising there. Also, you know, Nick has been a walking soundbite, I feel like, dating back to like last week. But, you know, he was actually on Dan Patrick's radio show this morning, and there was a poll that was released not too long ago. A panel of anonymous coaches spoke with CBS Sports over the summer, and we highlighted this earlier last week. And they basically gave their thoughts on who they believe to be the most overrated coach in the game. And Saban received 9% of the vote, tied with Lane Kiffin, right behind Michigan's Jim Harbaugh at 14%. So, yeah, Nick Saban voted the second most overrated in the profession. And then Nick, you know, he went on the Dan Patrick show this morning and kind of sounded off on it. He said, quote, "Well, first of all, I probably agree with that. The success we have is really contributed to by a lot of people. We have really good coaches. We have a really good staff of people who work with players. We have a tremendous amount of really, really good players who have made a tremendous commitment to a standard of excellence that has created a lot of success here." So I really like that response. I mean, that's what you're supposed to say, right? I mean, if you're voted the most overrated coaching, well, the second most overrated coach in college football, I like that response from Nick Saban, staying humble and saying, yeah, they're probably right. There's a lot of people that make this train move, and I'm just one component of it. So, yeah, but I'm curious, though. I don't think Mark D'Antonio, he was asked about that this morning. He was not asked about the solar eclipse, but I'm curious how many football teams out there who will be practicing throughout the afternoon are going to actually pause and allow their players with the safety glasses, of course, to look up and take in a big moment, a pretty big moment. All right. And I'm glad it's happening at 2:24 and that I won't be in the studio because I'm probably going to go outside my office later on. But Isaac, man, you didn't give me any glasses. What's up with that, dude? That's not cool. If you go to like our Facebook page, WKAR's Facebook page, there's Isaac Constance out there with our news director, Reginald Hardwick, as well as Brooke Allen, our host of Morning Edition. They're all outside with the really cool glasses. And I'm like, can you hook a brother up? But you don't have any behind the
glass.
Did
you see the photo, though? They're not really cool glasses. Well, they're the movie theater 3D glasses
that
tilt off your nose.
They're darker than that,
too,
right?
Yeah, much darker. Yeah. You cannot see anything with them. But I don't have a pair myself. I need to find a quick fix for that, I guess, in an hour's time or else no solar eclipse for me. But, no, when it came, I was always thinking, you know, it's a solar eclipse. I can watch it on TV. As bad as that sounds,
yeah,
honestly,
it's not cool,
I don't
want to watch it on TV,
but
man.
I don't want to damage my retina or whatever it might
glasses.
Be. But
if
I got the glasses, but I didn't think about it enough advance, I guess, to go get the glasses. So now I'm definitely at the point where I'm reconsidering my choice when it comes to that.
So you were basically a poser for that picture on Facebook because those glasses were for Brooke's children, right? So you and Reginald just kind of just took them and said,
oh, I'm a poser in everything I do, Al. You know that.
Oh, I preach on, brother. Preach on. All right. Well, let's keep this train moving. I want to talk briefly about the Detroit Lions. Again, it's NFL preseason football. Hopefully I'm not hearing clicks out there changing to another station right now. I know NFL preseason football can be a bit of a bore because these games mean absolutely nothing. However, we got to talk about it because a lot of people do want to talk about it. It is the NFL and the NFL drives conversation. Game 2 of the NFL preseason for the Detroit Lions saw the Lions move to 2-0, which again means absolutely nothing. But a few takeaways from that game. You know, watching that game when I was on the West Coast, you know, I got a chance to tune into a bit of it and then caught some highlights of it. Cornelius Washington, new starting left guard for the Detroit Lions. He starts off the game with a really nice sack and forced fumble. Christian Hackenberg, he really got hacked on that play, I must say. The former Penn State quarterback, I mean, that was a vicious sack on Christian Hackenberg. So much so, and you got to love the internet. Trolls, trolls, trolls on the internet. Wikipedia, of course, you know, for those who have taken classes in this modern era, you know that when writing a paper, using Wikipedia as a source is not really a source because anybody can edit a Wikipedia page. So get this. After that sack happened from Cornelius Washington that saw Christian Hackenberg hack up the ball, Christian Hackenberg's Wikipedia became very comical. Very, very comical. This is what the first sentence of his Wikipedia page said a few minutes after that moment. Christian Hackenberg was an American football quarterback for the New York Jets of the National Football League until his ultimately execution by the lowly Detroit Lions during a preseason game. Very cool stuff. And then you look at his bio, and it says date of birth, February 14th, 1995, age 22, place of birth, Pennsylvania, date of death, 8/19/17, Detroit, Michigan. Yeah, it was a really hard hit. I don't know if you did you see that play, Isaac? I mean, he took a hit from Cornelius Washington. It had me cringing when I saw it.
Dude. I didn't see it live, but it was one of those that he didn't see coming, kind of stepped into it indirectly, yeah. And then Washington just laid him out.
That was pretty bad. And speaking of the New York Jets, they are pretty bad. Christian Hackenberg had a play where it just looks like he just completely gave up and just threw the ball on the ground. I'm sitting there kind of scratching my head saying, oh, yeah, this New York Jets team is not going to be a Super Bowl contender this upcoming year. When it comes to Matthew Stafford, Staff was 8 of 10 for 84 yards. He had a really nice corner toss to Marvin Jones Jr., you know, quick hike. Flick of the wrist, right to the corner end zone, a great catch. The ball was right on the money to Marvin Jones Jr. for the touchdown. Great, great play. Also, a great play action to Golden Tate across the middle of the field. That drive ended with a Prater field goal. So, overall, Matthew Stafford contributed to, 10 points in that preseason game. And how about A'shaun Robinson with the sack as well? You really start to see some good push when it comes to that Detroit Lions defensive line against, yeah, take it with a huge truckload of salt because it is against the New York Jets. Jake Rudock, who looked great in game one, took a few steps back in preseason game two. He was 8 of 13 for 84 yards, threw an INT. You know, it was a four wide receiver set. Jets come on a blitz, and he just kind of panics and just throws the ball, not really thinking it through or surveying the field. INT, really bad play for Jake Rudock. But this again, I've been ranting about this for 2 weeks now. You know, NFL preseason football, you get these non-competitive games with all of the risk of injury. Well, guess what? Another Detroit Lion was injured in that game this weekend. This time in the latest injury report, wide receiver TJ Jones. In the first half, he left the game due to a hamstring issue. The Lions were able to avoid the type of major injury they had to deal with in their previous game, though, when we saw, you know, individuals like Kerry Hyder go down. So I don't know what the severity of this hammy injury to TJ Jones is. But, you know, you talk about these preseason games and injuries, and it's like, why even play your starters? It's just like, sit everybody. And I was watching NFL Network on the plane ride back yesterday, and they had the San Diego Chargers game that was being featured as the night slate. I even forget who the San Diego Chargers were playing that day, but, you know, they were talking about how Phillip Rivers was sitting out. And I don't know who the analyst was, but he was really perturbed about it. He's like, oh, he needs the reps. Phillip needs to get in there and have a few reps before the season starts. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, no, he doesn't. It's preseason football. What if, you know, he goes in there and just a freak injury happens? Because it's the game of football. It's physical. Anything could happen. I mean, seeing Matthew Stafford out there, as durable as he has been, still, why? I just do not get it. So now the Detroit Lions will move along, and they will welcome the GOAT, Tom Brady, to Ford Field. I'm pretty sure that's going to be a sold-out affair because you get to see the defending Super Bowl champions and you get to see an aging Tom Brady do his thing for at least a few plays down at Ford Field. It's going to be a cool moment for kids out there who have idolized what Tom has been to the league for quite some time now. Other takeaways, TJ Lang, who signed with the Detroit Lions this season, largely in part because it is his hometown team. He's a Royal Oak native who attended Birmingham Brother Rice High School, went on to star at Eastern Michigan University before being drafted by the Green Bay Packers. He played his first 8 seasons there professionally. Lang is now a Lion. He made his debut with the Lions on Saturday night after sitting out last week's preseason opener against the Indianapolis Colts. Played in 3 series. Didn't have anything glaring or like, oh my goodness, no notable moment for Lang in that game. The offense scored on 2 of those drives, though. So looking forward to seeing if Lang does play in this game on Thursday, which I assume he will. You know, knock on wood, hopefully he didn't get injured, right? You look at Marvin Jones Jr.'s 4 catches on Saturday. It came when actually Detroit's 11-play, 73-yard drive that culminated with, of course, that fling to the corner of the end zone from Matthew Stafford. Marvin Jones Jr., he looks good. Looks really good. That was a 5-yard touchdown catch where Marvin Jones really showed some great athleticism. 11-play, 73-yard drive, 4 catches for Jones on that drive alone. And everything that I'm reading coming out of Detroit Lions preseason training camp is that Jones is having a really solid camp. That is coming from Jim Caldwell as well. And he can really see a difference in Jones in his second season here in Detroit. So Jones is going to be a factor this upcoming year. And again, as I noted, you know, early on in the game, you saw Matthew Stafford hit Golden Tate for a nice crossfield play. I like Golden Tate a lot. I've always loved Golden Tate, and I really like Jones and Tate teaming up. They could be a force that Matthew Stafford can really play with this upcoming year. Detroit's offense found running the football pretty difficult. Yeah. No surprise there. We saw the running woes of the team last season, right? Detroit had just 82 total rushing yards on 31 carries, an average of just a whopping 2.6 yards per game. Yeah, 2.6 yards per game. That's not great. The struggle was real for that Lions rushing attack on Saturday. We saw starter Amir Abdullah. He was okay running it during the first 3 series, but he racked up just 16 yards on 4 carries for an average of 4 yards per carry. Dwayne Washington was Detroit's leading rusher with just 24 yards on 8 carries. I am not sold when it comes to this run game so far. And that is something that I really want to see how the Lions, that first unit going against the New England Patriots, that offensive line play, I'm really curious to see if they can open up holes for Ameer Abdullah. Again, 4 carries, 16 yards, that's got to be better. That's not great. Not great. Guys like T.J. Lang, on that offensive line, I do think they're going to be better than last year. However, so far in the first two preseason games, nothing very impressive. Also, injuries, rehabs, and other factors have prevented, really, the Detroit Lions offensive line from playing together a whole lot during training camp, and that's why I'm also a bit wary when it comes to this line. Right now, when it comes to a projected starting lineup, week one versus Arizona, this is how your line would look. Greg Robinson at left tackle, Graham Glasgow at left guard, Travis Swanson at center, Lang at right guard, and Rick Wagner at right tackle. For the first time in the preseason, all five got game action together. It's all about chemistry when it comes to this thing we call football, and those individuals need to play together. They got to get reps together, and I guess, you look at the preseason, even though I'm not a big fan of it, this is an opportunity for those individuals to get on the right page. So I think that we'll see those individuals in Robinson, Glasgow, Swanson, Lang, and Wagner, I think we'll see them play the majority of the first half this Thursday. And as I mentioned again, you look at the injury report for the Lions again. They lost T.J. Jones in the first half to a hamstring injury. As the week moves along, I'm sure there will be an updated injury report as it pertains to Jones, and we, of course, will bring that to you. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, again, this entire week, we will have five mid-Michigan high school football coaches that will help you get ready for the start of high school football action here in the greater Lansing area. Can't believe that we're just 4 days away from high school football. I love it. Can't wait. When we come back, Bill Farocco, head football coach of the East Lansing football team. He'll join me live on the air. Don't go anywhere.
Just finished it up, going into our fourth week of a summer camp, which is unusual a little bit, so we'll finish it out this week. But very impressed last week with our scrimmage, just excitement, the enthusiasm, the effort, and the toughness that we showed, sort of back and forth as we went through the scrimmage. We went about 120 plus plays or so, so it was a good scrimmage for us. But focus now is a little bit more on Bowling Green as we get ready for game week next week. And we've got Fan Appreciation Day this week, and also we'll vote for our team captains and have a rehearsal scrimmage as well. So we got some things to do this week yet, but, just keep it moving. Well, they got a little bit to look forward to this week because we'll give them a little bit of time off. They'll have a chance to go home, maybe watch their high school football games, things like that. So we'll give them off Friday and Saturday.
Yeah.
So that'll be a positive for them. So they can look forward to that and get their legs back. And then we'll be back at it on Sunday, a little bit in the afternoon, late afternoon. But I think they can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Yeah. So I think that there's a positive vibe out here. Got good music.
Was having Friday and Saturday off the plan all along, or is that something that's been the result of just liking what you see and comfortable with where you're at?
No, we've always done that because over the course of time, you're gonna get your legs. You got to get your legs back. I think that's very important coming out of camp. You got to have your legs up underneath you to play on game day. So we've always done that, really, pretty much for the past 11 years. It's been a long time coming. Our first game has been a long time coming. So I sense our excitement every day in practice, especially when we go against each other in scrimmage situations. And there's a good feeling about this football team. But more importantly, even more importantly, I think we're looking forward to the first game and that first opportunity. Like I said, it's been a long time coming. We've gone through some things here, and it's not been easy, but I think we've maintained our composure here.
I gotta love MSU preseason football practice, right? I tell you what, Mark D'Antonio, brother, you got some great style when it comes to music. He's got great musical taste. Stevie Wonder in the background as Mark D'Antonio addressed the media before practice this morning. a few things to note throughout that bite. Again, we now embark on the fourth week of summer camp for MSU football. As I mentioned in the quick hit headliners, we saw Michigan State hold its second scrimmage of the year of preseason camp. Again, you don't know much because no stats are released. However, we do know that the offense topped the defense in overtime, 39-33. The second scrimmage took place on Friday night at Spartan Stadium. It was more than 140 plays long. So now you talk about this week. This is the final week before a preseason camp before they rev up and really start game planning for Bowling Green. Hard to believe that that game is now just 11 days away at Spartan Stadium. Mark D'Antonio is going to give his players off Friday and Saturday. All about getting their legs back is how we put it, as you just heard. They will also vote on team captains this week. And if I had to throw out a guess, you know, again, Brian Allen, Chris Fry, as well as Gerald Holmes. Those three have been the representatives, it has seemed like, throughout this offseason when it comes to changing the culture back to what it was previous to last year for MSU football. So not much you can tell about, you know, when it comes to MSU football, but they are progressing. And now, again, we talk about less than, you know, 2 weeks away from this this season opening game on September 2nd. I do want to push this along, though, because Mark D'Antonio, he does not like to talk about injuries. It's all about being, you know, focused and just taking it day by day by day, especially when he talks to the media. He's kind of, you know, he's kind of cautious in letting anything out there when it comes to injuries in preseason camp. However, we do know the freshman corner, Josiah Scott, did not participate in Friday night's second scrimmage of preseason camp. D'Antonio went on to say, quote, "We held Josiah out that scrimmage. He'll be healthy. He'll be ready to go. He has been impressive." Now, as we all know, Scott enrolled in January. He got the early edge in starting opposite sophomore Justin Lane with a strong spring game on April 1st. He's 5'10", 173 pounds. He's a corner. He finished tied for the spring game high with 8 tackles and even added an INT and an end-of-game pass breakup in the end zone. Josiah Scott is one of those names that you've heard throughout this camp that is having a great camp and who looks to possibly be a big-time player for this young, very young MSU secondary and very young overall team. Again, just 8 scholarship seniors on the entire MSU football roster. So we'll see how that pans out, and I also want to pass this news along to you all because I found this quite surprising. Tayo Lacusa, does that name ring a bell? Isaac, did you see this news concerning Tayo Lacusa?
I did.
Travis City native, he posted on Instagram on Saturday that he will be playing, forget this, Rich Rodriguez in the Arizona Wildcats. Now, if you remember, Tayo Lacusa, who once played at Michigan State, in February, he told the Detroit Free Press that he left Michigan State following his first season and first semester because he just was not in love with the game anymore. He decided to leave. He's like, I don't know if football's for me. I'm just not having fun, basically, right? And he posted a message that I'm going to get to probably for my weekend winners. He posted a message that was really honest. And I'm not going to bash the young man for it at all because I thought it was the right decision. And I'm going to give actually mad props to Tayo Lacusa because this shows his maturity and the game of life. You know, you want to live life. I've always believed, Isaac, you don't want to live life with any regrets. That's how I live my life. If an opportunity is there, you take it. And especially when it comes to the window of opportunity for young ball players to play a game and possibly have a shot at playing professionally, you got to take it because when he's old and gray, he could possibly look back at that moment and say, you know what? I should have at least gone through with it. Props to Tayo Lacusa. We'll get to that later on in the show. But you saw that message that he had.
Oh, right? I did. Yeah. And you got to go day by day. That's the other message, that whatever happened in the rear view is in the rear view. You just have to go based on what's best for you in your future. Tayo Lacusa doing just that by going over to Arizona.
Definitely. All right, let's welcome our first coach of this week-long high school football preview special here on our airwaves. His name is Bill Farocco, and he graduated from Greensburg Pennsylvania Central High School back in 1965. He then attended Michigan State University on athletic football scholarship and was a member of and played on the national championship teams of 65 and 66. He received both his B.A. in Communication Arts in 1969 and his M.A. in English Education in 88 from Michigan State. He has coached for over 35 years and serves as the, of course, current coach of the East Lansing football team. And to preview the year and more for the East Lansing Trojans, we now welcome Bill Farraco to Current Sports. Bill, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. It's a pleasure.
Always a pleasure having you on. And, you know, when we have you on, that means that it is high school football season. We are now just 4 days away from game one. Bill, what year is this coaching for you now? And what keeps you coming back?
First of all, it's the upper 30s. I'm not quite sure. It might even be 40th. I just enjoy it. I enjoy the competition and all that that brings. I enjoy the game itself, but most of all, it's working with the kids, the young kids, and providing them the opportunity to be a part of something that's maybe just a little bit bigger than themselves, and to have a shot at experiencing. Arriving at a collective goal and all the neat things that entails from a preparation standpoint to the actual Friday night game competition standpoint, and just the camaraderie it builds and the confidence it gives the young men.
Yeah, and Bill, if I've done my math correctly, I believe, yeah, this is your 40th year coaching, 14th year at East Lansing. Bill, what is this week like for you all and the players throughout game week, knowing that you have game one opening up against St. John's 4 days from now? What is the atmosphere like at practice?
We've been working consistently through up until last weekend. We worked 12 straight days. We gave the kids some time off. I think it's difficult for the young people to understand. Okay, we're getting close now, because you get captured by the routine of camp and some double sessions and all of those things. It almost lends to a little bit of a boring situation. But we met with our kids this morning, had a walkthrough and a film session and a lift. And you can tell that there's a little bit more of a sense of urgency. There's a little more focus. Matters are at hand. It's time to go. The week itself is still dotting I's and crossing T's, making sure that equipment is in place and all of those things. And then from a schematic standpoint, it's just getting the things in that you know that you're going to be using on a week-to-week basis in, so the kids are exposed to it and hopefully going to be able to execute.
Yeah, it's all about preparation, right, Bill? And you all are now, 2-1 against St. John's, dating back to season openers against the Red Wings back to, 2014. What do you like about opening the year with this series against the Red Wings?
You know, they have always been Dave Maragy's program has always been a very, very good program. The kids are well coached. They compete hard. So it's a pretty clear answer to where you are. We're anxious for Friday to come, but it'll tell us a lot about where we are, even at this early stage, because, you know, as we move through our conference and the season itself, there's very little time to take a breath. And so for us, we want to know where we stand in competing against a good program.
And correction, excuse me, I got my math flipped there. 1-2 against St. John's dating back to 2014. So I'm sure your players are looking forward to possibly evening the score right now. Right, Bill?
Right. We want to take care of this game. This is the only thing that we're focused on for right now, and we're looking forward to it.
As far as, you know, looking forward to the Red Wings in week one here on Friday night, I mean, what are you anticipating against St. John's? I mean, what makes this team so good?
Defensively, they're very sound. They're very active with some of the calls. Their linebackers are very active in providing pressures. So, you know, you have to cover a lot with the kids.
Right, and you know,
offensive standpoint, but it has to be somewhat simple so you can so the kids aren't thinking too much and they can play fast. On our defensive side, they have the wing tee offense, and we just need to have great eye discipline, read our keys, and get off the ball.
6-4 last year, Bill, lost to DeWitt in districts. I mean, DeWitt is a team that's stacked every single year. For you all, Bill, coming into this season, can you give us a few key players and what are the realistic expectations that we can look forward to possibly seeing accomplished from your team?
I think, first of all, we're bringing back some pretty good individual players. Our problem or our issue is to fill the gaps with some underclassmen and even some seniors and have them arrive as quickly as possible. Mm-hmm. Among the returning people that we're looking for production and leadership, Blake Underwood is our free safety and wide receiver. Kobe Hayward is our strong safety, and he is one of our running backs. Connor Charmella, at this juncture, is moving ahead in the quarterback competition, but a great punter for us, all-state punter. Brian Johnson, Tristan Klusak return on the offensive line. Jack Waters at linebacker. So, you know, Michael Thornton at tight end and defensive end. So we have these people in place who have proven themselves already, but it's just a matter of, as I said before, kind of filling the gaps with people who are going to be able to compete and prepare well and produce.
And, of course, the cliche sports question, Bill, what are the expectations that you have for this squad?
I think that, you know, if we take care of our business at practice, in that I mean if we prepare the way we need to, we have an outstanding chance to be a pretty good football team. The preparation thing is quite important. Concentrate on the things that are happening now. And, you know, another cliche-ish type thing, you know, just one practice at a time, one rep at a time, one game at a time. So, you know, we've got to protect the football, and then, like most programs, we've got to stay somewhat healthy.
Bill Faracco, head coach of the East Lansing football team. Bill, two questions before we get you out of here. First, you look at the non-conference schedule. As I mentioned, St. John's, and then you all will play Dearborn Divine Child on September 1st. What are you looking to see before that September 8th opening conference matchup against Grand Ledge?
We want to make sure that the kids are comfortable in the system. They know what they know what's being asked of them, and that we have placed them in the best position to be successful, and that they play fast. We want them to play fast, and we'll know quite a bit the first 2 weeks leading into the Grand Ledge game.
And of course, competing in the CAAC Blue is one of my favorite conferences here in the Mid Michigan area. What makes the CAAC Blue so competitive and something special, really?
I think, you know, first of all, the leadership from a coaching standpoint is very solid throughout the conference. The kids are always ready to play, and you have very, very little wiggle room. I mean, you've got to be ready. If you're not ready for whatever reason, you're making things more difficult for yourself. So it's going to be a very, very interesting conference season.
All right, Bill Ferracco, head coach of the East Lansing football team. They, of course, will open up the year against St. John's this Friday. Bill will be in touch throughout the season. Good luck this week, my man.
Thank you very much, and it's a pleasure being on.
Bill Ferracco. All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will get a live report from Cooley Law School Stadium as our very own Scott Pohl is at the Lansing Lugnuts game as many fans and players alike are getting ready for the solar eclipse. That and more. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished chatting briefly with Bill Ferracco, head coach of the East Lansing football team, as the Trojans will open up the high school football season on the road this Friday, 7 p.m. against St. John's. Again, this is the opening week of high school football, and throughout the week, we will have four other Mid-Michigan High School football coaches that will be joining the program. Tomorrow, we will welcome Terry Hesbrook, head coach of the Ithaca Yellow Jackets, a powerhouse, a longtime powerhouse in the Mid-Michigan High School football realm. So you don't want to miss tomorrow's show. Well, we have about 7 minutes left. And right now, I want to invite to the show our very own Scott Pohl, who is actually following the solar eclipse at Cooley Law School Stadium as the Lansing Lugnuts are embarking on right now in the middle of an afternoon matchup. This worked out perfectly for fans that want to enjoy some baseball while also taking in a once in like 15 to 20 year moment. Scott Pohl live from Cooley Law School Stadium. Scott, what's up, my man?
Hi, Al. How you doing?
I am fantastic. What's the atmosphere like down there?
Well, you just want a game update, right?
What now? You could do that if you want to be like a quasi sports reporter as well.
That's
for
right,
sure,
that's right.
For sure.
It's a 4-4 tie in the top of the sixth right now. How's that?
Okay, that is absolutely okay. Perfect. We need to get right. Scott as a regular doing our coverage for Current Sports. How's that sound?
That's right.
All right, so tell us about the moment. The solar eclipse, I believe it's, I mean, according to Isaac, you said what, 1:24, Isaac?
Exactly 30 minutes away. The 30 minutes away? Yeah.
Yeah.
The totality is it, well, it's not totality here. The peak here is about 80% blockage of the sun at 2:24 p.m. And so the Lugnuts had a special promotion today. First of all, this game had been scheduled to be a day game for many months before they even realized it was the same day as the eclipse and at the same time as the eclipse.
Right.
And so earlier today, I did a Facebook Live talk on the WKAR News Facebook page with our friend Jesse Goldberg Strassler,
right,
of the Lugnuts, about what their promotional plans were for the day. The first 1,000 fans who got here today got the special extra safety glasses that you need for viewing the eclipse. And I have it on authority that some people came up, bought lawn tickets today, came inside and got the glasses, and then sadly left the game because they couldn't stick around or something, I suppose, but they needed the glasses.
So they just came to get the glasses, really? Oh, come on, that's kind
of
shiesty. Come on.
There was some of that. One of the other promotions today is that you can bring your dog today.
Right.
So there are lots of dogs here at the stadium today. You know, in terms of safety concerns, I was worried about things like, you know, when you're playing ball, you lose the ball in the sun because you're looking at the sun.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
You're not supposed to look directly at the sun during a partial eclipse.
Right.
It can damage your eyes. And so far, I haven't seen any incidents on the field. And frankly, right now, clouds have rolled in. The last time I looked at the sun through the safety glasses that Jesse gave me, I would say the path of the moon across the sun, it might be about halfway there. And that was maybe 4 or 5 minutes ago. Right now, it's cloudy. So it's a little hard to tell you if it's darker than it would have been regardless of the eclipse or not. It's a little hard to gauge that
right now. Well, that's what I wanted to ask. I mean, because, you know, with it being, you know, at its peak, I guess, here in Michigan at 124, I mean, where is it right now? So it's, and especially with it being cloudy, I mean, if it's cloudy, can you really see?
No.
Okay.
No, and so, when I put the safety glasses on and look at where the sun is,
right,
I see absolutely nothing.
Oh, that's going to be a bummer.
Because literally when the sun was out, when I looked at the sun through these glasses, the sun was all you could see through these glasses. You couldn't see the clouds at all. So it's really important to use safety glasses. And I have seen one or two people sneaking peeks up at the sky when the sun was out. And I've almost, you know, I was frightened for those people, seriously. You can do really serious damage to your eyes.
You definitely can. And that's what we've been preaching since 1 o'clock. So Scott, if the clouds clear up in the next 20 minutes or so here, and they do get a chance to see the partial eclipse at 1:20, I'm curious to know what will happen to the game. I mean, will the game pause it for like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes?
There is a plan to pause the game, and I believe that a major reason for that is for fan safety, because you know how they're always concerned about foul balls or pieces of a broken bat flying into the stands and hitting someone who's not paying attention to the game.
Makes sense.
I suspect that that's a major reason that starting at roughly 2:20, and I would guess, no matter what the conditions are like at the time, that they are planning to pause the game. You know, and the players want to see it, too, if they can.
Right.
It's not just for the fans.
Exactly.
So I suspect that there will be – they're planning a stoppage of play. I'll bet they do it regardless of the cloud cover.
All right. Our very own Scott Pohl on location at Cooley Law School Stadium as the Lansing Lugnuts take on the South Bend Cubs minor league baseball game. But, of course, fans are out there getting ready for the solar eclipse. Scott, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks a lot. Real quick, Al, I'm going to do a Facebook Live starting at about 2:20 from here just to see what it's like.
Perfect. I'll be tuning in for sure if I can't get outside.
Thanks.
All right. Scott Pohl, thank you so much, Scott. All right. We have less
to do it.
Thank you. We have less than 30 seconds left in the show. Isaac, any weekend winners, dude?
I just actually want to report something back to Apache. We had a question on Friday. But scarlet and gray are still the Ohio State Buckeyes colors.
Yeah.
The article he saw that it would change to purpose and whatever other color, ruby, was a myth. It was an April Fool's joke.
Okay.
Ending to the show, I know.
We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care and be easy, people.